Praise the Lord. So good to be in his house today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. First Samuel 16, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, that is, consecrate, and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. The Lord was on the lookout. The Lord was on the lookout for a man. A man after his own heart. Amidst a generation, in a generation, a beloved one. 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." The message: God is always on the alert, constantly on the lookout for people who are totally committed to him. David, God sees you. David, the eyes of the Lord are on you. They're upon you. The Lord knows your coordinates. The Lord knows the very field of diligence. David himself would later write Psalm 14:2, "The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God." Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. I have provided myself a king. The NLV, I have chosen a king for myself. Just a young man. A shepherd boy. The youngest among brothers, this keeper of sheep, David. Beloved by the Lord. You know, we are not so much dealing with the transfer of kingship today. The rejection of Saul as king over Israel, this transfer, and the time of transfer. What did God see in this young man? What was it? What was it about this young man? What was it about this David? The prophet of the Lord sent to anoint a particular young man. And David had no idea this day was coming. And so hear a call to ready oneself. Ready in season and out of season. The scene is set. The prophet Samuel arrives. Morning turned. A horn of oil in hand. Jesse and his sons are there with Samuel, and the prophet's eyes lay hold of a young man named Eliab. He looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." Samuel says in his heart, "This must be the one." Immediately the voice of the Lord God, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Obviously, there was something about this young man, Eliab, that moved the prophet to think that he was the one. That he was the one provided, chosen of the Lord. But no, the message, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, here he is, God's anointed. But God told Samuel, looks aren't everything. Don't be impressed with his looks and stature. I've already eliminated them. God judges persons differently than humans do. Men and women look at the face. God looks into the heart. The Wycliffe Bible, the Lord beholdeth the heart. The Voice Translation, the Eternal considers the inner character. And so, next brother, please. So Jesse calls Abinadab and makes him pass before Samuel. Neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse makes seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel says to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen thee. Many called. Yes. Anyone left? Is that it? Is there another? Message paraphrased, Jesse presented his seven sons to Samuel. Samuel was blunt with Jesse. God hasn't chosen any of these. Then he asked Jesse, is this it? Are there no more sons? Well, yeah, there's the runt, but he's out tending the sheep. Samuel ordered Jesse, go get him. We're not moving from this spot until he's here. Jesse sent for him. He was brought in, the very picture of health, bright-eyed, good-looking. God said, up on your feet, anoint him. This is the one. Samuel took his flask of oil and anointed him. with his brothers standing around watching. The Spirit of God entered David like a rush of wind, God vitally empowering him for the rest of his life. Every young David, every David needs an anointing. And every young David will receive an anointing no matter where they are. God knows. God knows where they are. Even if they are seemingly left in the field, God will call them out. God will have them called out according to his heart, his plan, his will. Anointed among brethren. The oil of anointing and the Spirit of the living God entering them like a rush of wind, God vitally empowering them for the rest of their lives. Acts 13:22. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. The message, this commendation, I've searched the land and found this David. Son of Jesse, he's a man whose heart beats to my heart. A man who will do what I tell him. The Lord is looking, the Lord is searching for Davids in this hour. And the Lord is providing, he's choosing Davids in this hour. The Lord knows exactly where they are in the earth, the very field they are in. And these will receive an anointing that they might carry out the will of the Lord their God. Hearts beating after his own heart. Hearts beating to his heart. A burning within this holy inferno. Same rhythm. Same pulse. Men and yes, women who will do what he tells them. God wanted a David. God even chose to need a David. This need in the kingdom. A king had been rejected. Not to spend much time here, a king among men. And the time came when these words were delivered to him, 1 Samuel 15:17, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Verses 22 to 23, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed than the fat of rams, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. There was a time when Saul was chosen. But here we are now. Here he is now, rejected. Church, kingship can have its way with us. No longer little in our own eyes. Burnt offerings and sacrifices rather than obedience. Rebellion and such a strong comparison. Stubbornness and its strong comparisons. Even a rejecting of the word of the Lord. You know, it didn't have to play out like this. Didn't have to play out like this, Saul. But it has. And here we are now. David is anointed, now anointed, and anointed king, though this transfer would take some time. No, not all the particulars today, this day, rather, a highlighting of the Davidic. this man provided, chosen of God. Lessons from the life of David. One found of God. A provided one, a chosen one. God on the lookout. 1 Samuel 16, beginning at verse 14. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, "Surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well." So Saul said to his servants, "Provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me." Then one of his servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person. And the Lord is with him." Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Armor bearer. David, he didn't walk in, barge in, "Hey, I'm anointed. I'm anointed king. Hand over the crown and the keys to this place." He became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." And so it was, whenever the Spirit of God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Oh, to play like David. And hear, if you can hear it, beyond the music. And look, here he is playing, ministering over the very one whose position God has already given him. Prophetic anointing. David's ministering before and over a rejected king. David's taking orders from a rejected king. Remember, at this time, he's still king. Don't jump the gun. Don't jump the gun. And can't you hear the later words of David when Saul was after him to kill him, to take him out? 1 Samuel 24:10. "Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in a cave. And someone urged me to kill you. But my eye spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." Yeah. A man after God's own heart. You see, David's, true David's, though anointed, though already anointed for the position, would never and will never stretch out their hand against the Lord's anointed. 1 Samuel 17, beginning of verse 1, we love it. "Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and were gathered at Soho, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Soho and Azekah. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and He was armed with a coat of mail, scaled body armor. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. And a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you, the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were greatly dismayed. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. "Give me a man. Give me a man that we might fight together, that we may fight together." No one's stepping forward. No one is coming forward. Terror in the ranks. Fear. Any suggestions? Here's David at home feeding his father's sheep. Occasionally he went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. David's brothers are at the battle among the ranks of soldiers. Here's this Philistine drawing near and presenting himself 40 days, morning and evening. Jesse speaks to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers fare and bring back news of them." David rose early in the morning. I mean, his father was sending him. He rose early in the morning. He left the sheep with the keeper. He takes the things and goes at his father's command. He arrives. He comes to the camp as the army is going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. Oh, remember the shout. Remember the shout of your supreme king. But what a sight. What a scene. Israel and the Philistines are drawn up in battle. Battle array, army against army, verses 22 to 24. David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Verse 26, David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Verse 28, Eliab. Eliab's oldest brother heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused at David, and he said, "Why did you come down? Why did you come down here, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." What an accusation. What an accusation. I mean, here's David. David had come bearing provision. David had come at the command of his father to see how his brother fared, to see how his brothers fared, and to bring back news to his father. We're talking about a man running with orders. Eliab, why this? Why this against your brother? Why this in your spirit, in your heart? Still haunted? Still haunted by the day of his anointing? Anger, degrading, unholy judgment, verses 29 to 32. David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. What a spirit. What a spirit in this young man, anointed of God. There is no doubt a cause. An army and a Goliath, this great colossal giant, this reproach, this defying of the armies of the living God, ought to be like David. To hear like David, to see like David, to speak up like David, to be moved like David, versus 32 to 33, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Saul said to him, you're not able to go out against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're a youth. And he a man of war from his youth. Verses 34 to 37, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go. And the Lord be with you. Saul tries to clothe David in his own armor. Perhaps that if the boy succeeds, he, Saul, might get the glory. Or at least his armor would be the reason. Be a reason for the victory. Verses 38 to 39. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor, and he tried to walk, for he had not tested them. David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested, I have not proved them. So David took them off. Every David called and anointed by God knows what they can walk with and what they cannot walk with. They know the tested. They know the proved. What a David can walk with, what God has put in their hand, with which God has prepared them, equipped them, the armor of another, the weapons of another, the tested of another, fits another. So David took them off. He put them off him. Well, what are you going to walk in, David? What are you going to walk with, David? What are you going to walk in, David? Verses 40 to 44. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained, that is, he belittled him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, and the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Young David, young David in the house of the Lord today, don't let anyone despise your youth, and don't you despise it. And remember, every giant has a giant mouth. Why are you surprised? You think he'd open his mouth and sound like a mouse? Just a few squeaks. Every giant has a giant mouth. Verses 45 to 47, then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Notice he said our hands. Our hands. David could have said my hands. Everyone else is chicken. No, David said, our hands. A man after God's own heart. The glorious sling. Oh, a sling like David. But note the words of David. "Goliath, you come to me with a sword, a spear, a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." David didn't say, "I come to you with a sling and stones. My sling and stones." Every David, provided, chosen, anointed of God, walks in, comes in, battles in the name of the Lord of hosts. The name of the Lord of hosts. Because the name of the Lord of hosts is the sword of every David, the spear of every David, the javelin of every David, the sling of every David, the stone of every David, the armor of every David, the courage of every David, the confidence of every David. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. David knew. David knew he was nothing without God. He didn't boast in his own strength or ability. No. I come in the name of the Lord. The Lord will deliver you into my hand, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. All this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So beautiful. Let's finish it off. Verses 48 to 58. So was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone. "Go for the head." And he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted, and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley into the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell among the road of Sherem, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know. Like an unrecognizable one." So the king said, "Inquire whose son this young man is." I mean, you already know. Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" So David answered, "I am the son of your servant, Jesse the Bethlehemite." What a journey. What a journey David found himself on. And now we turn the page and we read these words. "Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul, and Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely, prospered." David, a man after God's own heart, a covenant man, a man of covenant, life bound up with life. And later, history shows how serious David was about covenant. And yet all this grating, all this grating against this man, the chasing, the hunting, the conspiring, the plotting to terminate David. To terminate God's chosen, to terminate God's anointed, to terminate a man after God's own heart, to terminate the one whose heart beats to the rhythm of God's heart, to terminate all the hunting, the chasing, the conspiring. A man of covenant? Yeah, after Saul and his son Jonathan are no longer on the scene, having perished in battle, the time came. Time passed by. David asked this question. He says, "Is there still anyone who is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Yes, David, there is one. There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. Mephibosheth. And what a name. The meaning of the name? Exterminating the idol. IDOL. And what of IDLE? David sends for him. When Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. "Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "Here is your servant." David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." To be like David, one of covenant. You know, there are so many lessons from the life of David. Oh, to gain the record, a man after God's own heart, a woman after God's own heart. What greater commendation, what greater epitaph, what greater validation, what greater legend? You know, church, all other kings would be measured by David. And might it be so today? All other kings measured by David, might it be so today? Like David, not like David. Like David, not like David. There is no doubt that the Davidic standard is close to the heart of God. And the Lord is still looking for, providing, choosing those of the David company. A man of covenant and a man pining for the covenant chest of God. A man so desperate for the presence of God. And yet, right now, even in this place, as we've gone through these lessons, the life of David, there are those in this room that can think of nothing but the blunder with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah. Yes, a serious blunder in the man's life. And therefore our warning. For the sword never left the man's house after this. A stain. And yet the forgiveness. The grace and mercy of God for the man's life. 1 Kings 15:5, David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. The message, David had lived an exemplary life before God all his days, not going off on his own in willful defiance of God's clear directions except for that time with Uriah the Hittite. So many lessons from the life of David. I want to encourage us today. Be a man after God's own heart like David. Be a woman after God's own heart. Shepherd like David. For some, only have eyes for giants. But the lions and the bears are just as important. Faithful in little, though not little, and much will be given. Serve like David. A father's household. A father's flock. A father's command to carry supply to the battlefront and return with news. Speak faith like David. Know the cause, that there is a cause like David. Sling like David. This perfected ability. Play like David. Skilled and anointed. Honor authority like David. Battle like David, a man of war. Rule like David. Be humble like David. Minister unto others and minister unto the Lord. Worship and praise the Lord our God like David. Lift up holy hands, bow down, rise up, and dance like David. Clap like David, sing like David, shout like David. Righteously undignified like David. Show kindness. Show kindness like David. Carry yourself like David. Die like David. And by the grace of God, provide the next generation and generations to come with a standard the Lord can work with and will work with. You see, some, not like David. And what are they providing the next generation? It's not a standard God's going to work with. It's not the standard God can work with. Like David, not like David. First Peter 2:9, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Revelation 1:5-6, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 5:9-10, and they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you are slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings. Like David, not like David. You made us kings. I think we should start acting like kings. Kings carry themselves in right manner, that they might bring honor to the family name. to their father. They dignify it. Right character. They know it all matters. Because of the royalty. Royal blood in their veins. And it made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. I mean, we're going to reign in heaven. New heavens, new earth, but reign on the earth. You know, we can reign now in right manner and right order. Chosen, royal, holy, special, peculiar, called out of darkness, loved, washed, made kings and priests, provided, chosen by the worthy one, the one who redeemed us to God by his precious blood. We're talking about the greater David with no blunder. All the tribes and tongues and peoples and nations represented here today, kings and priests to our God. Reign on the earth. Reign on the earth. You say, what might be the standard? A worthy example. Time and time again. Like David, not like David. Followed in the ways of David, did not follow in the ways of David. Walked like David, walked not like David. Did as David, did not as David. You say, God cannot expect me to be David. No, not David, but like him. Acts 13:22, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. The message, this commendation, I've searched the land and found this David, son of Jesse. He's a man whose heart beats to my heart, a man who will do what I tell him. The voice, after God moved Saul aside, he made David king in his place. God had this to say about David. I have found David, son of Jesse, to be a man after my own heart. He is the kind of king who will rule in ways that please me. God is still finding Davids. He's still finding Davids in the fields of earth today. Listen, David was content in God, content with God, content with placement, content with timing. These words, I've seen more Christians destroyed by ambition than any other sin. Discontent in the heart, always pushing and jockeying, moving for some new thing, some new position. I believe David was at rest. For that moment of calling and anointing was so incredible. Samuel taking his flask of oil, horn of oil, and anointing David, the Spirit of God entering David. Like a rush of wind, God vitally empowering him for the rest of his life. You say, will a Samuel show up? Maybe. Will I feel literal oil rush over me? Perhaps. Will God's Spirit vitally empower me for the rest of my life? Yes. There is no doubt. If you will be found of God, found by God, our name may not be David, and yet we can surely be like him. By God's grace, by the grace of God, beloved, beloved, much loved, he watches over his beloved. Let's have the worship ministry, please come. Did David know how it would all play out? You know, the day he was anointed king, I mean, after he's anointed king, it's like, just go back with the sheep. Did he know how it would all play out? Like, Samuel, tell me. Tell me what to do. Do I go now? Did David know how it would all unfold, play out the day he was anointed? Listen, he didn't know. But his heart was one with the heart of his Lord. And he was now ready for any scene. Every scene. You know, David just wanted to be useful. David just wanted to serve God. He was fully surrendered. He was on the altar, not pieces, everything. He didn't want to write the story. He didn't write in lions and bears and distressing spirits and giants and, Lord, how about a crippled man named Mephibosheth? He didn't decide on a captured ark and the glory of its return. He didn't know about the mighty men that would stand with him and war with him. David loved the Lord. David loved the Lord more than anything and more than anyone. And so, Acts 13:22, the New Century Version, I have found David, son of Jesse, the kind of man I want. He will do all I want him to do. Holman Christian Standard Bible, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man loyal to me who will carry out all my will. The Amplified, he testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, conforming to my will and my purposes, who will do all my will. The NLV, David, Jesse's son, will please my heart. He will do all I want done. New Testament, Kings. The Voice Bible, I have found David, a son. Son of Jesse, to be a man after my own heart. He is the kind of king who will rule in ways that please me. Lord, may we be found by you. And may you testify concerning us, each individual. I have found this one. And I have found this one. Men and women after my own heart. Lord God, this people, this generation, this congregation, the collective, the individual, we need an anointing. We need your Spirit, God, your Spirit anointing us, entering us like a rush of wind, this vital empowering for the rest of our lives. Living the Christian life is hard enough without an anointing. You say there was only one David in the story? Yeah. Because there was only one king. But God said, I've made you kings. You're my sons, you're my daughters, my kings and my queens, you're royalty. There's royal blood in your veins. Wake up and act like it. Wake up and carry it. Take pride. You know, if someone called your house tomorrow, I mean, many of us don't have home phones anymore. If they somehow found your number or messaged you and said, good news, you're next in line. You're next in line. You're anointed, you're a king. I mean, if you knew that was the reality, how would you carry yourself from that moment on? How would you govern your days? You'd live different. You'd live different. Well, I pray we all live different from this moment forward. Perhaps you're in the house today and you've heard this story of David, how he took down this giant. But there was opposition. And perhaps you're in that place today. There's opposition. There's an army. There's a giant. You're a young person. Maybe you're a young person. You know you're called of God. God has told you to step out. He's given you an anointing. And you've taken a step, but you just found out that a giant has a big mouth. Or perhaps you're here today and it's a valley where the battle is, and you know what they said. He's a God of the hills. He's not a God of the valleys. No, He's God of the valley. He's God of the mountains. He's God everywhere in between. He's God. A valley in between, defiance, belittling of who you are. Don't let the enemy belittle you. Too many, day after day, they just listen to it. They listen to it. They just keep listening to it. Who are you to come after me? They're listening to taunt to the enemy. You know, pretty soon it's what they believe. And that's where the advancement stops. And for the rest of their life, they live out their Christian life. And it feels like every day there's an army and a big mouth giant. Today's the day. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He's going to give me the victory. The victorious one, the greater David. Hey, little D David, you're safe in the hands of the capital D David, the greater David. Just trust him, trust him, trust him. Please wake up tomorrow. Leave this place today and think of yourself differently. That you're a king's kid, that you're a prince, that you're growing up. You're going to be a king. You're a princess. You're growing up. You're going to be a queen. You act like it. Live like it. Young person, you walk into school. Be humble. But you're a king's kid. You're a prince. Princes don't mess around with others that are into foolishness. You know what I'm talking about. They carry themselves differently. They separate themselves. You know, they kind of act like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They kind of act like Daniel. Anointed. Hallelujah. Let's stand in the house of the Lord. God, we give you glory today. God, we give you glory today. Come on, just in this moment, in these closing moments, you say, Lord, I need an anointing. God, I need a fresh anointing. Maybe it's a fresh anointing. God, I just want to be useful. I just want to bring you glory. I just want to honor you, Lord. I just want to serve. Wherever I am, wherever you place me, Lord, I just want to be faithful in the field. The field of diligence, let it be called the field of diligence, God, that you look at the field we are in, wherever we are in, for the steps of the righteous are ordered to the Lord. The field we find ourselves in now, Lord, let us be content. Let us trust in you. God, know that there's an anointing upon our life. And that you're going to work it all out according to your plan. And your plan is perfect, God. You see from above. We see so linear in this life. But Lord, you see from above. You know. Lord, I pray for the youth of this house. The young of this house, Lord. God, that they wouldn't let anyone despise their youth. And they wouldn't despise their own youth. Lord, that they wouldn't waste these years, but they would cherish these years, God, that they would dig deep into you. They would be like David, after your heart, after your heart, their hearts beating the same rhythm, the same pulse, God, and that they would receive an anointing in this time, Lord, that they wouldn't waste the years of their youth and then start seeking God or wait for a moment when they feel like they need to. God, they need to seek you now, Lord.